gospel according to Luke chapter 13 is what we're going to share. I was going to preach from Genesis 26, and it seems like the Holy Spirit shifted my message. And so, amen, what comes is straight from the lips of the Holy Ghost. Is that all right? Amen. Luke chapter 13 is where we're going to share for just a moment. And I pray that you'll be blessed by the word of the Lord. Amen. Luke chapter 13, praise the Lord. And we'll start reading at verse number 10. If you have it, everybody shout amen. Amen. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues, amen, on the Sabbath. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years and was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said unto her, Woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. Verse 13, and when he had laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Immediately she was made straight, and she glorified God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, straighten up, straighten up. Some of y'all act like you enjoy telling your husband that. Come on, somebody. Amen. Straighten up. Immediately, amen, she was straight and she glorified God. Verse 14, and the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day. Amen. And he said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work, and in them, therefore, come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath. And the Lord answered him and said, thou hypocrite, do it not each of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? And ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed from this bond? Amen. On the Sabbath day, when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. I want to preach this morning just for a few moments, amen, an anointing to lift. I want you to lift your hands and say, Lord, send an anointing that will lift us. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the integrity of your word. The flower fades and the grass will wither, but it's your word that will stand forever. And I pray that this word will not just bring revelation this morning, but Lord, let it bring confirmation in the hearts of your people. In Jesus' name, and everybody shouted, amen. Praise God. You can be seated in the presence of God. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, amen. I've never seen a time in which we're facing right now. It has been declared that this is the age of anxiety from the world perspective. Praise God. But on the flip side of the coin, I believe it's the greatest hour of the church. Now, you may differ from me, amen, but I still believe the darker the dark gets, the brighter the light shines. Come on, somebody. How many really sense in your spirit that this is harvest time? Wave at me. All right, half of y'all, I'll try to convince the rest of y'all before we leave here today. Amen. This is really harvest time. And ladies and gentlemen, people are going through seasons of despair and disappointment. And you know, I don't really even like to mention the name COVID, but at the end of the day, it has changed our whole world. Amen. And some of you sitting in here have lost loved ones. You've sat by the bedside and watched them die. Praise the Lord. And it's a difficult thing. And people are still grieving, amen, and some don't know how to properly grieve, and so they're saying, how do I come out of this? How do I stop weeping? How do I stop grieving? And grieving is a part, amen, of just living, of our human lives. It's okay to grieve. It's all right to release and let some things go. Come on now, amen. So people are wondering, what are we going to do, because we're in an age of uncertainties, and my God, and anxiety is at an all-time high, and now the spirit of suicide is running rampant in our country and in our communities, amen, that's claiming the lives of even many of our youth because people don't see any way out. But isn't it good to know that Jesus is still the answer? Come on. He really is. He's still our answer. He's always have been the answer. He's the same today, yesterday, henceforth, and forevermore. Ladies and gentlemen, in this text this morning, it's a very powerful text for many different reasons because, amen, you'll see, amen, that the importance of the anointing of God. Now, in this text, amen, there's a woman that's been sick or bowed over for 18 years, and the Bible calls her a daughter of Abraham, but she's got an infirmity. Come on now. Praise God. Now, I'll come back and revisit that. Now, in John is the only one that records the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda. Anybody ever read that story? John chapter 5. And the scripture says he's been in this condition for 38 years. 38 years. That's a long time to be sick. That's a long time to be burdened. That's a long time to have a situation that you don't have power over. And the scripture says he's surrounded. He's an impotent man. That's what the scripture calls him. He's impotent and he's surrounded with those that are withered and aught, amen, and sick and leopards and on and on and on. They're all encased together, but none of them have the power to help one another. How many know it takes a free man to free a man? It takes a free woman to free a woman. You can't pull me out of the hole if we're both in the same hole together. Come on, somebody. And the scripture says, amen, once a year, a certain season, the Bible said an angel would come down and trouble the waters. Praise God. And whoever steps in first would get their healing and their deliverance. But can you imagine, for 38 years, this man kept on showing up. Praise God. There's something about people that will make an effort to get what they need. I want to know how many desperate people are in this house this morning that's willing to do whatever you need to do in order to get your miracle. Come on, somebody. Praise God. So here's what happens. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Jesus comes on the scene and the Bible says, amen, he sees this man in this case for a long time. And he says to them, amen, I know you've been here. I know you've been in this condition a long time. Praise God. Number one, he knows where you are. Look at your neighbor and tell him, he knows where you are. Number two, he knows how long you've been dealing with whatever you've been dealing with. Praise God. And so he asked the man, wilt thou be made whole? And the man says, his reply was this, I have no man to put me in the waters when the waters are troubled. Jesus never asked him that. He asked the man, do you want to be made whole? But because, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, sometimes you can go through a situation so long that when real help shows up, you don't know how to embrace it. Come on. Jesus was the man. Come on. And how many know when he shows up? Praise God. You don't need a man to put you in because Jesus is the man. And can I submit to you this morning that he's in this house, he's in this place, and whatever you need him to do, he's mighty to save. And you may have walked in here one way, but I decree today that you're going to walk out of here. Amen. Changed by the power of God. Somebody give him praise here. Give me just a little monitor. I can't hear up here. Come on. Praise God. So here's what's happening. My God, I feel something pushing me now. If y'all will pray for me, we'll have a little church up in here. Come on, somebody. Amen. So here's the thing. This man made an effort. Praise God. I don't know about you, but it's hard sometimes and difficult to preach to effortless Christians. Do y'all know any effortless Christians? Come on, praise and worship team. Amen. You got to prime them and pump them to get them going. That did not go over well. Amen. I mean, you got to stand up here and not just only sing, but you've got to be a cheerleader. Hello, somebody. Because you got 50% in the church that worship and the other 50% watch you worship. But I'm not a watcher. I'm not a spectator. I'm a participator. greater. Come on, somebody. Because when I walk through those doors, I need a miracle from God. I didn't come to see what you were wearing or what you drove in. Amen. I really don't care. Is there anybody in here that's desperate for a miracle? Who did God send me here to talk to today? Amen. Where are those that are hungry for a move of God? That's right. Stand on your feet. Open up your mouth and give God a praise. Oh, come on, come on. Let's rock this house today in worship. Come on. Is that all you got? Open up your mouth and bless the Lord. Woo! There's a miracle in the house, and it has your name on it. Y'all sit down. You're making me nervous. Sit down. Woo, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So here's what happens. When you really get desperate, you'll make an effort. Amen. And God always blesses people that makes an effort. Let me say that again. God always blesses people that's willing to make an effort. I can show you in Scripture. You said, well, if God's going to do it, he doesn't need our participation. I beg the differ. Sometimes he wants to invite you into the miracle. Praise God. Listen to what he said. He says, Moses, I'll open the Red Sea, but not until you stretch out the rod. Okay, Noah, I'll save your family, but not until you build the boat. Build the ark. Joshua, the walls of Jericho will come down, but not until you march around them 7 times. Somebody's going to catch it in a few minutes. Naaman, I'll heal you of leprosy, but not until you dip 7 times. Amen. Peter, you can walk on water, but not until you get your butt out the boat. Hello, somebody. And God sent me here this morning to tell you it's time for you to get out of wherever you are and move to the place that God has ordained for you to be. Woo! Jesus says, I'll raise Lazarus from the dead. Wait a minute. But not until you roll the stone away. There's something you've got to do. So here it is. Amen. He's been there 38 years, but you have to give the man credit for keep showing up. Hallelujah. He kept on showing up. Amen. This could be the day. This could be my time. Amen. This could be my hour. This could be my season. Hold me right there, sir. Thank you very much. Praise God. This could be our time. How many sense in this house right now that this is your time for breakthrough and deliverance and for a miracle? Wave at me. Come on. This is your time for a visitation. This is your time, amen, for your breakthrough. This is your time for God to move in your family. This is your time for God to repair the breach. This is your time, come on, for God to restore your joy. I sense in this house, amen, and I know, my God, that you just experienced some devastating things, and it's tough. Sometimes it's tough to praise through this and to worship through this, but at the same time, you got to understand that there's an anointing that can be released in the house. Come on, somebody, that can make hard things easy. Can you say amen? And God sent me here to tell you that he's about to send an anointing to First Assembly that's going to lift every burden off of you. Who did God send me here to talk to? Come on, how many's ready to be lifted this morning? David says what? He's the lifter of our heads. Come on, church. Amen. If you lift him up, he will show up. Woo. It's in the text. The Bible says an angel would come down, amen, once a year at a certain season. Don't miss that. Don't miss your season. Don't miss your time. And you know what? This man was ready. He kept on showing up. And the Bible says every time he gets ready to step in, somebody else would step in before him. Praise God. And he had to go back and start all over again. But there's something about desperation. Desperation is the doorway to deliverance. Look at your neighbor and tell him, keep on showing up. Keep on showing up. And guess what? Jesus healed the man. And after he was healed, praise God, he told him to take up his bed and walk. And now, Lord have mercy, this is interesting. Everybody's rejoicing, but the Pharisees and the scribes, hello, it's called a religious spirit. And God sent me all the way to Oklahoma to preach this religious spirit out of this church. I don't know if y'all are ready for me, but I'm here, and you might as well deal with me. Can you say amen? I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired of religion. Come on, somebody. If we're going to see miracles, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says God. Come on, clap your hands and give God praise all over this building. Let's break every religious spirit, every spirit of bondage, and say, God, have your way. Oh, come on, come on, come on. Your praise will drive the devil up out of here. Your praise will, come on, amen, it will intimidate hell. Your praise will shake things loose. So now, amen, the system was this. An angel would come down once a year. That was the system of the day. Some of us have been living by systems in the church, and they're old, they're cold, and they're disposed. They're antiquated. Come on. And what worked then was good, but it ain't working right now. But we're still embracing things that are not working. God, I feel my help coming. Praise God. David's getting ready to fight Goliath. Hello. And Saul says, take my armor. Fight him with my armor. He says, no. 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 Amen. Now, number one, I've got a problem with your armor. It's been in the back of a tent collecting dust. Number one. Number two, if it's not working for you, why are you giving it to me? Come on, somebody. But number three, give me my rag and my rock. Come on, somebody. And I'll knock this joker out in the name of Jesus. Because it's been tried and tested. Can you say amen? Church, listen to me. Systems are not working. That's why God is breaking systems. And one of the things that have happened during COVID is that, ladies and gentlemen, amen, everything around us is being shaken. Haggai talks about there's going to be a shaking. Praise God. The whole world's going to be shaken. And it's being shaken right now. The economy's being shaken. Come on. Wall Street, Main Street, your street. Hello. Amen. People used to celebrate 401k. Now it's just K. 401's gone. Y'all will get it on the way home. Praise God. So the economy system is being shaken. The sports arena is being shaken. When they cancel the Kentucky Derby, I said, Jesus is coming soon. You did too, didn't you? Yeah. Praise God. So everything, Haggai says, that can be shaken, it will be shaken. That those things that cannot be shaken will remain. Whew. Let me go a step further. The church has been shaken. Excuse me, the church needed to be shaken. Come on, somebody, because we had gotten a ritual and a routine, amen, and religiosity, and people were coming in one way and leaving out the same way, praise God, and we fought one another over the flag that we fly under, amen. If you're not my denomination, I don't want to fellowship with you, but after COVID hit, it pushed all of us together, and now all of a sudden, denomination doesn't make any difference. Your organization, oh, it's getting quiet in here, but I'm coming through here like a Big Mac truck, baby. Come on, somebody. Praise God. Amen. Now it's all about Jesus. If I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. Where are the believers today? Come on. Where are the true believers? The followers of Christ? Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Jesus breaks the system, and now all of a sudden they attack him. Instead of rejoicing, this man's been delivered. They said, you can't do that because it's the Sabbath. Hello. Not knowing that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. Can you say amen? And so now it takes me to our text this morning. Jesus is teaching in one of the synagogues. And the Bible says, while he's teaching, he noticed a woman that walks in. She's bowed over and she's walking like this. Don't miss this, because this is important. And in no wise she was able to lift herself. Some of you have come here with some burdens, amen, that have caused you to bow. And if certain things hit your life, I don't care how strong you are, big boy, you'll bow. Come on, somebody. Oh, yeah, you may be the toughest thing on your block, but life has a way of handing you something that's bigger than you, and you'll bow. And this woman could not raise herself. And there are people that come to church Sunday after Sunday that cannot raise themselves. And that's why we don't need dead worship, dead praise, and dead preaching in the pulpit. Come on, somebody. Praise God. I believe if you're going to heat the house, it's got to start in the fireplace. Can you say amen? Praise God. Jesus says, if I be lifted, is there anybody here ready to lift him up this morning? There it is. I'm coming to a close. And the Bible says, there she is every day coming to the temple. Every Sunday she's coming to church. People walking right by her. Come on. Amen. They can't help her, but they gossip about her. Amen. Y'all don't have gossipers in Oklahoma, do you? I'm praying for liars at the end of the service. Come on. Because we're famous for reciting problems in the church, but nobody has the power to summons a solution. She's bowed over, and she's coming every day, and people have gotten comfortable watching her and seeing her in the condition that she's in. Jesus steps into one of the synagogues and he notices the woman. I'm glad he knows where I am, and he knows, sir, where you are. Just nudge your neighbor and tell him God knows where you are. And you know what? He knows what you're going through, and he knows what you're dealing with. Come on. Amen. And yeah, I know we know how, amen, to act like it's all good when it's not all good. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise God. But let me tell you something this morning. Jesus notices the woman, amen, and he says to the woman, praise God, woman, thou art loose from thine infirmity. My God. And all of a sudden, the Bible says before this time, she didn't have the ability to straighten up herself. But now all of a sudden, the woman lifts up herself and he says, woman, you are loose. Can I submit to you this morning that the devil is so afraid of some of you getting loose because he knows once you get loose, your whole family's going to get loose. Your son's going to get loose. Your daughters are going to get loose. Come on. Your grandchildren are going to get loose. Some of them are strung out on meth and strung out on cocaine. But God sent me here to tell you that this service is a service to loose people. And if you need somebody to get loose, I dare you to start praising him right now. Come on. Come on. Your praise will loose people. Woo! Come on, throw your hands up and shout, Lord, loose me and let me go. Give him a hand clap of praise. Woo! Come on, I feel something moving in here. And the Bible says, now listen, amen. You would have thought that everybody would have started praising God and applauding her deliverance. But now the Pharisees and the scribes, amen, they saw what had happened and they attacked Jesus. Amen. Pastor, let me warn you of something And I'm sure you already know, everybody that say they want to move of God don't always want to move of God. Okay? Amen. Let the Spirit of God start moving. All of a sudden, it starts breaking systems. Amen. And when you got oil on your head, you're a system breaker. Praise God. I know my assignment in the body of Christ, and that is to break the spirit of racism. And I go in black churches and I preach, if you hate white people, you're going to bust hell wide open. Come on, somebody. Oh, Jesus, that's a little extreme. No, that's the truth. And if you're white folk, amen, or Asian, and you can't stand the opposite color, amen, you're going to miss heaven 100%. Why? Because God has what? One church. And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Come on, church. God don't have a black church or a white church or an Asian church, but God's got one church. I don't care what the system says. So the scribes were writers of the law. They knew the law, but they wouldn't do the law. Come on now. Amen. They wouldn't do it, but they would put burdens on other people. Jesus calls them hypocrites and said, how can the blind lead the blind? And so now this woman has been delivered from an infirmity. And Jesus calls her a daughter of Abraham. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you don't have a few issues. Oh, God. Woo-wee. Did he really say that? Tell your neighbor, you may be clean, but you ain't squeaky clean. Come on. Yeah. That was the wrong neighbor. They looked at you funny. Tell the other one. She was a daughter of Abraham, but she had an infirmity, and Jesus loosed her. Praise God. And you know what? The people start rejoicing. But now, amen, the religious people say, you can't do that because it's the Sabbath. Wait a minute, dummy. She's already delivered. Somebody's going to catch it. Come on. How many know you always got critics when God starts moving? Pastor, it reminds me of a young lady that had just gotten saved, and she's in her English class, and the teacher says, I want everybody to write about their favorite character. It makes no difference who it was. Well, she had just gotten saved, and in children's church, you know what? She realized that she heard the story of Jonah in the whale. So she wrote about it. That was her first story she heard since she was saved, and she was so excited, but not knowing, unbeknownst to her, that the teacher was an atheist. So she turned her paper in, and the teacher started reading it and says, I don't believe a whale or a fish can swallow a human. Don't ever write about a biblical story again. I don't believe that. The little girl didn't get discouraged. She just grabbed her paper and walked her little happy hips right on back to her seat. And she said, that's okay. When I get to heaven, I'll just ask Jonah about it. But wait a minute. That made the teacher really mad and said, what did you say? She says, well, when I get to heaven, I'll just ask Jonah. She says, what if Jonah went to hell? She says, well, then you ask him. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Woo. Every now and then, you've got to let the haters hate and let them do their things, but say like Joshua, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Somebody give him praise in the house. Jesus says, just remain standing. I'm just about finished. Remain standing. Listen to this. Woman, thou art loosed. And then the Pharisees and the scribes says, you can't do this. Woo. Man, you act like you got some soul brother in you. Oh, yeah, you do. You do. Oh, yeah. I want to check your roots after the church, okay? We'll talk in a few minutes. But listen to this. Here's what happens. Now, the woman has straightened up. And before then, she didn't have the ability to straighten herself. And some of us are in here right now dealing with situations, amen, and you're saying, this has to straighten out and straighten up, and I don't know what I'm going to do. But God said there's an anointing here to straighten up the issues, amen, that's out of place. Who did God send me here to talk to? And Jesus rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees again. And I don't have time to give you all the information and revelation on how many times he healed people. I believe he did it on purpose on the Sabbath day. Hello. And they said, you got 6 days to work and to heal a man or a woman. Why would you wait until the Sabbath day to heal them? It made them mad and they were furious. And so Jesus turns around. And what I love about him, he's always got a comeback. Woo! He says, now listen, you've got 6 days to water your ass and your ox. But you know what? You loose them, amen, on the Sabbath, and you go water them. And if you can loose your ox, I can loose this woman. Ha! Can you say amen? Hallelujah! I want to know in my clothes, is there anybody come to this church today that need to be loosed by the power of God? My God, loose me from depression. Loose me from fear. Loose me from disappointment. Loose me from a spirit of suicide. Somebody shout, loose me and let me go. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, don't stop. I feel something. Woo. Come on. Woo. Woo. Hallelujah. There are people that's watching. There are people that's in this room right now. And maybe you're saying, Brother Webb, I'm free, I'm good, okay, thank God. But you know what? You're connected to somebody that need to be loosed. We were at First Assembly in Central Missouri, and there was a gentleman, we had a recording artist with us that morning, and so he was headed back to Atlanta, Georgia, and he says, where are you going tonight? Are you preaching? I said, yeah, I'm preaching at First Assembly in Central Missouri. He says, you know, my flight is not out until tomorrow. I think I'll go with you. I said, well, why don't you come and just share, man, and sing? This guy was an anointed of God. We get there, and I asked Pastor, like I asked Pastor Brad, is it okay if Paul sings today? He said, of course, you take the service and let the Lord have his way. Well, as a result of that, Paul started singing that song, and it was a song of healing and deliverance. And I'm telling you, the power of God fell in that service like never before. Every time I would step up to preach, it was just like I felt a force pushing me back. God says, you just move out the way. This is my service. Amen. And I did exactly that. How many know you don't get in the way of God when God is moving? Amen. So we just gave an altar call right there. And I said, Paul, keep singing. And I'm telling you, there was over 50 people in the altar. And people were being saved and being delivered by the power of God. But I noticed the church was built somewhat like this, maybe a little bit larger than this. And then they had a balcony, but their foyer was all glass. There was this young couple that came while Paul was singing, even during the altar call. And they just leaned on the door. They would never come into the sanctuary, but they were peeping in and just watching. So right about the end of the service, this young man walks down the aisle and he says, I've never been to church before. I don't understand all of this. And he says, please don't judge me. I just left a crack house and my body's filled with meth. I said, you're in the right place. Well, his girlfriend was still at the, you know, window there. She's watching him. And I said, hey, have you given your heart to God? He says, I've never been to church. I don't know how to. I said, it's time for you to get saved. He says, now, I don't know how to do this stuff. I said, you're the right one. Amen? Well, sometimes we're inundated with religion. Hello. Sometimes we think we got it when we don't really have it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But he was raw dog right out the street. This young man gave his heart to God. 3 minutes later, he's on the floor speaking in an unknown tongue. The power of God was all over him. Well, the church just starts shouting again. Well, his girlfriend runs down and she's crying like, oh God, what have you done to him? I said, he just got saved. Do you want to be saved? Same scenario. I don't know. I don't know. I don't go to church. I don't know about this. And she's watching him all at the same time. So we prayed for her. She gave her heart to God. Well, right in the middle of all this, this guy jumps up. Pastor Braden just starts running where everybody's shouting because, you know, they think he's happy. But he runs out the door. I said, well, I guess he's taking it outside. Come on. Can you imagine? I'm in front of the church, and he just right out the door. His girlfriend's still down here crying. And about 5 minutes later, here comes four other guys with him. And they're walking in looking like this. And he's beckoning them. Come on up here. And we prayed for these guys. I said, who are these guys? He says, these are my friends. Listen to this. He says, this is the drug dealer. This is the guy that just sold me the drugs. That man got saved. His four other friends got saved. And they were all baptized with the Holy Ghost. You know why? Because there was an anointing in the house to live. And God sent me here this morning to tell you, yes, you walked in here with a heavy burden, but there's an anointing to lift you today. And everything is going to be all right. Somebody give him praise in the house. Woo! Now listen. Some of you are here, and I know your hearts are heavy. I understand. Praise God, we had 17 funerals, 18 funerals last year, four of which were suicide. Young teenagers, young adults in their early 20s. This year already, we've just about surpassed that. They're not all members of our church. They're people of the community. And they call and said, we need you to come and minister with our family. And I'm telling you, it's been totally devastating to see families almost fall apart in their weeping. But you know what? I give them the same Jesus that I received. Because less than 2 years ago, we had to bury my son. And let me tell you something. It will turn your world around. And it will flip your world upside down. Come on now. To lose a mom or to lose a dad, to lose a sibling, to lose, amen, you know, a loved one or a friend. But to lose a child, it's a whole different ball game. I can't explain to you, and some of you in here know exactly what I'm talking about. And let me tell you, you got to live by the faith you preach to others. But I experienced the comforting of God like never before. That's why I can't wait to talk to youth pastor today and his wife and lay hands on them today, because we've been there. We lost a daughter, beautiful, beautiful little girl at birth. And no one really knew our story until I wrote our last book, Scar Wars. And it's one chapter is dedicated, the scars of losing a loved one. And now people are calling me across the nation. Matter of fact, I did a national TV show on it and ended up doing a 3-day TV show that sold over 10,000 books. And right now, our office cannot keep the books. You know why? Because people are dealing with loss all over the world. And God says, some of you are here today. Some of you are here today. I know the little child have passed on. And you know what? It takes time. People say, well, you just pray you'll get over it. No, you never get over it. God just helps you get through it. Amen. But I sense in this spirit, when I walked in pastor's office, the Holy Spirit changed my message in the office and said, this is what I want you to preach on. And I was saying, Lord, I wish you had told me that 12 hours ago. Some of y'all don't understand what preachers go to. Sometimes you don't get it until you get up. Come on, somebody. I'm serious. But listen, I live by the flow of God. And I know that there are people in this room. This lady right here with you, God says he's going to heal your heart from the inside out starting today. Come here, real quick. Come here. You. Yes, yes, you. Come on. Whew. Where's the anointing oil? Can I have the anointing oil? Whew. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. It's all right. God's got it. God sent me here just for you.
Thank you.
Now, here's what the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Many of you are here. Listen, I'm not here for a preaching engagement. I don't need a preaching engagement. I don't mean to sound arrogant or cocky or conceited. No, I'm here on the assignment of God. And when God speaks to me, amen, I simply obey him. There are many of you here right now. You need the Holy Spirit to lift you. You come in here, amen. Some of you right now, your marriage needs to be repaired. And you're saying, just like this woman, God, if you don't straighten this thing up, I don't know what I'm going to do next. I want you to come. Amen. You're tired of fussing. You're tired of fighting. Come on. I want you to come. And then some of you right here, amen. I mean, there are some parents in here right now. Your children are strung out on drugs. You spend money on rehabs. You spend money on bailing them out of jail. You spend money on attorneys. And you know what? They're about to deplete everything you've got financially. And you're saying, God, I don't know what else to do. And you know what? He says, I'm going to send an anointing that's going to lift you. Where are you? I'm talking to the parents right now. Well, I don't want anyone to know what's going on. Please, man. It's called life. This is not the courtroom. This is the family room. Come on, somebody. Judge-free zone. We don't judge people in here. We put our arms around them and we love on them. Amen. They're not the only ones. Come on.